snap. The kick is in the air, and the kick this time is no, sir, Ree. No, sir, Ree. Final score, Tennessee 20, Florida 17. Pandemonium reigns.
You're listening to the RTI Podcast, powered by RockyTopInsider.com.
Welcome into the Rocky Top Insider Podcast. I am Ben McKee, your host here on the podcast, joined by Matthew Ray of Sports Illustrated, VR2 on Sports Illustrated. That is, be sure to check them out on Twitter. Be sure to follow Matt on Twitter as well. Matt, how are you on this busy Thursday afternoon?
Yeah, Thursday afternoon turned a little busier than we expected, but that's always good, especially during the off season. But I'm doing great. I'm glad to be with you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you hopping on. We have plenty to talk about, which is not too shocking because we do cover Tennessee football. And Lord knows, Tennessee football always has something to talk about. And it's actually a mixed bag this time, Matt. Actually, some good things to talk about and possibly some good things to talk about. Not good in the overall grand scheme of things, depending on how you look at it. But we'll get to that later on. We're going to start with the good news. And the good news is that Tennessee has picked up a commitment from Virginia Tech transfer quarterback Hendon Hooker. And Matt, I tell you, I loved his quote that he used on social media when he committed to Tennessee at 3:33 p.m. So an hour and a half ago compared to when we are recording this. But Hendon's quote was, quote, "Dream chasing is an occupation. Those with a job understand the process of manifestation. Committed." I am a quote guy. I love quotes. Quotes inspire me. I like to post quotes. Don't judge me, Matt, but I love that quote from Hendon. But just when you saw the news, Matt, what was your reaction? It seems like a really nice pickup for Tennessee off the cuff.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a really nice pickup for Tennessee. It's flashy to the eye. It goes without saying that it adds a new dynamic, another dynamic to Tennessee's offense. Something that they had to get a transfer in, regardless of what else unfolds, you know, over the coming weeks. They had to get a transfer quarterback in, and it needed to be a guy of this caliber that's played at a high level, that's succeeded at a high level, that's a veteran presence, and, you know, preferably with, you know, more than 1 year of experience left. And, you know, he checks all the boxes for me for what Tennessee needed. I know they've courted, you know, a couple of other guys along the way, but I think this is as good as a pickup as they could have had given the situation that's going on in Knoxville. And, you know, I think for Hooker, it's an ideal fit too. You're able to stay in the Southeast. You're able to make a move to an SEC school. Quarterback room, you know, regardless of what happens, is going to be wide open for you. So I think it's a good fit for both sides. And, you know, I think it's something. And I know a lot of Tennessee fans, you know, they comment on my post about Hooker or whatever. It's hard to get excited with all that's going on. I still think regardless of what happens, this is a young man to be excited about.
Absolutely. And if Tennessee does make a coaching change, we'll see if Hendon remains committed. I think that the next coaching staff, again, if there is a next coaching staff, just speaking to your comment about Tennessee fans commenting on your post about it's hard to get excited. This is a quarterback, a player, an athlete, again, a football player that you should get excited about, whether Jeremy Pruitt is the head coach or not. And given the current options, whoever does come in to be Tennessee's next head coach, if there is a next head coach, in my opinion, should do their best to make sure that Hendon stays committed to Tennessee, because there's not a Jalen Hurts out there. There's not a Kyler Murray out there. Even a Gardner Minshew, he is not out there. So Hendon should excite fans regardless, because if Jeremy Pruitt's the coach, this is a big step in the right direction towards fixing the quarterback position in the meantime and bridging the gap until Harrison Bailey is 1,000% ready, until Caden Salter is 1,000% ready. Or if those two don't work out, which I would be surprised if neither of them work out, but also Ty Simpson. If Ty Simpson gets to Tennessee, which sounds like that's a battle between Tennessee and Alabama right now. I think Tennessee is in a real good spot there. Still a lot of work to do, obviously. But Hendon is a guy that can immediately fix the quarterback issues, but he can also bridge that gap until these three highly touted prospects that have a ton of potential until they are ready. So I understand that it's hard to get excited right now, but again, whether it's Jeremy Pruitt or a new coach, this is a guy to be excited about because he has the potential to be a true, true playmaker. And Matt, I imagine you feel the same way. This is a better quarterback than I anticipated Tennessee going out and getting it. And still speaking to the potential of a new head coach, if there is a coaching change, I mentioned this in passing, but I want to emphasize it even more. This is a quarterback commitment that is better than I thought Tennessee would get. I did not think Tennessee would be able to get this caliber of a quarterback. But also, if there's a coaching change, the next coach should go out of his way to make sure Hendon Hooker remains committed.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think it's an opportunity where if you know, you go through spring and things are wide open and, you know, like you mentioned, the two younger guys don't show that they're ready, you have a chance to bridge the gap. I think even if one of the younger guys or both of the younger guys show that they're ready, I still think Hendon Hooker adds something unique to your offense. You're talking about a 6'4", 220-pound guy who you can run. We saw Dan Mullen do it, you know, at midfield with Emory Jones in the red zone where Tennessee has had their fair share of woes, but you can add so much for this guy, and you just can't stack the box because he can beat you with his arm. So, you know, I think it allows Tennessee a lot more flexibility going into 2020, regardless of who the coach is, Jeremy Pruitt, somebody else, whoever it might be, to, you know, get creative at the quarterback spot, have a lot of competition there. And I mean, again, it's just, I agree with you. I did not think that Tennessee was going to bring in someone of this caliber. I didn't see it happening. So, and they've courted some guys that, you know, I thought would, you know, be quality guys, but this is I think it was the best pickup from the available options that they could have got.
Especially given the current circumstances.
Absolutely.
Who knows if Jeremy Pruitt is even going to be the next head coach, and they're able to go out and get a legitimate athlete, a legitimate quarterback, a legitimate football player. I mean, it's truly shocking to me.
Well, and you know, to a point, you look at where this quarterback room is now, and obviously, you know, you can say, well, none of these guys might be here if Jeremy Pruitt gets fired. They might all enter the transfer portal, every one of them. Okay. It's highly unlikely in my opinion, but you know, who knows what happens with the one-time transfer rule, but this quarterback room right now has to be a lot more appealing to a coach out there than it was when Jeremy Pruitt got here. You had to go out and get a transfer that you knew was a grad transfer that was going to be immediately eligible to come in and play. You just didn't have a lot in the quarterback room. And you know, a tip of the hat to Jeremy Pruitt. A lot of people are obviously frustrated at Jeremy Pruitt. They want him rode out of Knoxville in any kind of manner they can. And he, you know, who knows what's going to happen with his job. But to me, Jeremy Pruitt, if he's down to his last 2 weeks, he's going out the right way. He's still doing what he's supposed to do, regardless of the circumstances. And being able to go out and get a guy this caliber shows that. So, you know, regardless of what happens with Jeremy Pruitt, that's I commend him for the effort.
Yes, because this was objective number one on the offseason to-do list. Maybe Absolutely. Number two, maybe developing leadership Not maybe. I think that maybe that was number one. Developing leadership was number one, because it doesn't matter who you have on your football team. If there's no leadership, you're not going to achieve your goal. So I'll say this is number two behind developing leadership. But in terms of fixing the roster, upgrading the roster, adding talent, this was objective number one. Tennessee had to go out and add a transfer quarterback. And I completely agree with your assessment about the attractiveness of Tennessee's offense with Hendon Hooker. And even without Hendon Hooker, Tennessee's offense was attractive. I know that maybe sounds ludicrous to some, and look, I get it. But Tennessee's offense does have a ton of young, talented prospects. They really do. I think you and I have talked about it here on the podcast. We're talking about the quarterback room with Caden Salter and Harrison Bailey. Those two are pretty much already here. We'll see if Harrison Bailey were to stick around for a new coach. Obviously, Harrison Bailey's dad had some comments for Twitter this week. But if Harrison were to stay for a new coach, Harrison's an attractive prospect, as is Caden Salter. You're in a good position to go out and get Ty Simpson. So the quarterback room is attractive. The running back room is attractive with young prospects, Eric Gray, Tyon Evans, Cody Brown. Maybe you can get T. Hodge and Jabari Small to continue to come along. So the running back room is attractive. The offensive line does have young pieces that you can build around, and Cooper Mays and Javonte Spraggins. I think William Parker, the incoming three-star O-lineman from the Nashville area in Pearl Cone, I think he's going to follow in a similar path to Javonte Spraggins. And that's a guy that is just so mean and nasty by nature, and he's already physically ready for college football. Not where he needs to be, but he can hold his own already. I think he's a guy that can contribute early, like you saw Javonte Spraggins do at times this season. But even going back a couple of years ago, Jayshon Robertson played pretty much from day one. I see William Parker going that route as well. So Cooper Mays, William Parker, Javonte Spraggins, Wanye Darnell, they'll still be sophomores. The offensive line has a good young nucleus. The receivers, there's plenty of good young receivers there. Jalen Hyatt, you get Velus Jones back for another season. Tight end room needs some work. I think that's pretty evident. But that offense is attractive to a new coach, whether it's Harrison Bailey or not. And it's also attractive to Hendon Hooker. And I imagine those pieces that I just kind of laid out, and going back to the offensive line, I talk about the young players, but you also have Riley Locklear potentially coming back. Jameer Johnson has not made a decision one way or the other, but you definitively have Jerome Carvin coming back, and I think Jerome Carvin can be a really nice football player for you. Cade Mays, he'll be back next year. So that offensive line has the ability to protect Hendon Hooker. He's going to have backs that can help him in the backfield, handing it off to, or even dumping it off to them in the flats and let them make some plays. And you have some receivers like I talked about. So we talk about it being attractive for a head coach. It's also attractive for Hendon Hooker. So maybe that is why Tennessee was able to exceed our expectations, because even though it may not feel like it, Tennessee's offense does have some really talented and encouraging young prospects.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's really no follow-up for me there. I mean, like you mentioned, it's there's talent across the board at Tennessee. There's a chance for that offense to still be explosive, create explosive plays. Is it limited this year? Sure. You know, and you can blame a lot of different reasons. You can blame quarterback play, which obviously definitely hindered it at times. You know, but each group struggled in their own different aspects, and you know, each group was hammered by COVID in its own individual way, which obviously is not ideal. You know, you look around, and you and I have talked about this on a podcast. You have, you know, guys around you. Suddenly, you're the only guy in the room that's not contact traced, and you know that a lot of times that stuff's hard to bounce back from. And it certainly had a big impact on Tennessee this year. And there's still key pieces there for whoever is there in 2021 to have success on the offensive side of the football for Tennessee.
For sure. And I want to put a bow on Hendon Hooker and get your thoughts on what he could potentially do immediately in terms of how he fits into the room immediately. I know we talked about it a little bit off the cuff, but I want to use that as a final stamp. But first, some background on Hendon Hooker. Probably should have led off with that, but whatever. We'll do it right now. Four-star quarterback from Dudley High School in Greensboro, North Carolina. I haven't looked it up to confirm it, but I think Dudley High School is the same high school that Emmanuel Mosley went to when he was coming out of high school. And I noticed when I was looking at Hendon Hooker's Twitter profile before his Twitter followers blew up after he committed to Tennessee, I noticed that Emmanuel Mosley was following him. So don't know for sure, but I think that is where Emmanuel Mosley went to high school. I know he's from Greensboro, if I'm not mistaken. So that may have been a connection, but ESPN is talking in my ear. But Hendon Hooker, four-star quarterback coming out of high school, and he had two fairly productive years at Virginia Tech, both as a passer and as a rusher. Last season being 2019, second year at Virginia Tech, threw for 13 touchdowns, two interceptions, completed about 62% of his passes, and threw for about 1,500 yards. So those are good numbers for a first-time starting quarterback, and ran for about 400 yards. And then this past season, his passing numbers weren't as good. Did throw for around 1,500 yards once again, but only 9 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. But he did see an increase in completion percentage up to 65.1 or 3, something like that. So a really good completion percentage by Hendon Hooker there this past season. And he really saw an uptick in production while running the football. Rushed for, I believe it was 900 yards and 9 touchdowns. Somewhere along those lines. I don't have the stats pulled up in front of me because ESPN decided to start chirping in my ear as soon as I pulled it up. But a really productive year running the football, a true dual threat quarterback. And he missed the first two games or so of this past season due to injury, and then came back and started the final 7 of 8 games for Virginia Tech, and was battling kind of all year with a transfer quarterback from Oregon. So don't know the exact details as to why he is transferring. I can make an educated guess based off of the stories that we've heard come out about Justin Fuente's Virginia Tech program over the last couple of seasons. But seems like a really nice playmaker for Tennessee, Matt, and kind of putting a bow on the Hendon Hooker conversation. I know it's early. I know it's January. He committed less than 2 hours ago. But if I had to put a gun to your head, do you think Hendon Hooker is Tennessee starting quarterback game number one?
that's that's a great question. I mean, I think it's something probably everybody wants to know. And I'm not going to say yeah, but I'm not going to say, oh, no, this guy's just here to be a veteran in the quarterback room. Watching his highlights, he can throw the ball. He's got some natural arm talent. He's big, like I mentioned, 220, can, tote the rock, runs with a downhill style of just attacking, doesn't hesitate, kind of reminds you a little bit of Josh Dobbs in that aspect, as far as, just not afraid to stick it up in there, tough to bring down, breaks tackles, spins, falls forward most of the time. I certainly think he could be the starter week one. I mean, if you're Jeremy Pruitt coming back, or you're a new head coach coming in, and obviously you've been around the game of football, you want competition in your quarterback room, and this kid brings it. To me, I would not be at all shocked if he was the starter week one. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. He's a veteran. He's a big body presence. Something you need. I think he offers stability. I could see it.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it'll determine what will determine who the starting quarterback is week one of the 2021 season. How much does Harrison Bailey develop? I think that will be the question. I don't expect Caden Salter to come in and start game number one. He has the talent, but he is very, very raw. He needs some fine tuning. I don't have the expectation placed on him that he's going to come in and start game number one. Harrison Bailey obviously has a much better chance to start than Caden Salter does. So if Harrison Bailey takes a big step forward, then it wouldn't be surprising at all to see Harrison start game number one. But I tell you where Hendon has the advantage, and that is exactly what you were just talking about. He's a playmaker with his legs. And that is the new age, the new style of quarterback play that coaches crave. And to be honest, Harrison showed more ability to extend plays and pick up a couple yards with his legs than I expected. He wasn't as much of a statue as I had heard about him prior to arriving at Tennessee. And I didn't think he was, you know, a complete statue in the games. You saw him pick up a couple of first downs this season when he was in the game by extending plays. I mean, he's not fast or really making anybody dance out of their shoes or anything, but he was able to extend some plays. So don't want to just completely label Harrison as a statue in the pocket. But I do think Hendon has a huge advantage, quite frankly, in that department. So it would not surprise me if Hendon starts. He has more experience than Harrison. Honestly, I'd probably put it 60-40 or 55-45 in Hendon's favor, just because he does have that ability to make plays with his legs. He's more experienced. And it's not like he's been playing non-Power 5 football. He has been playing in the ACC, which has some formidable opponents. So long way to go. Who knows if Jeremy Pruitt is even the coach? Who knows if Hendon Hooker will remain committed through a coaching change or Harrison Bailey remains committed? But just kind of assuming that those three are the quarterbacks for next year and Jeremy Pruitt is the head coach, I think you'll see Hendon Hooker as the starting quarterback, just based off of his ability to make plays with his legs. But again, Harrison has a great shot, and he'll determine whether he'll start or not. If he takes a big leap forward, I can absolutely see him starting. So we'll be fun to keep up with for sure. Also wanted to talk about the latest development with Jeremy Pruitt. We have, not on purpose, but we have talked about the status of Jeremy Pruitt's job quite a bit. It's hard to have any conversation regarding Tennessee football right now without making note of the potential that Jeremy Pruitt does not return next season, because it is a legitimate possibility, Matt. And this morning, an article came out from Mark Schlabach. Came out on ESPN about Tennessee officials having not extended the contracts of assistant football coaches, and that Tennessee has paused hiring coaches for vacancies as the Volunteers continue to investigate whether recruiting violations occurred within the program. And then obviously earlier this week, it was reported by VolQuest. Knoxville News Sentinel also reported it. But the university announced that it had hired attorneys Mike Glazier and Kyle Skillman to assist its in-house counsel and compliance officials in the internal investigation. The attorneys have interviewed current players this week about alleged improper benefits and other rules violations. Now, Matt, when I saw this, I honestly rolled my eyes at it, because it was generating this reaction on social media. But I don't know why, because this was not new information. This was information that's been talked about all week amongst people who cover Tennessee. You've had multiple people come out and talk about these very, very things that were in the article. We've been talking about it on the Swain event all week. Chris Lowe of ESPN came on the show yesterday and talked about these exact things. Austin Price and VolQuest have been talking about those things this week. The Knoxville News Sentinel has been talking about those exact things. So to be honest with you, Matt, I kind of rolled my eyes when I saw the article, because it wasn't new information. And I was kind of surprised that it was making the rounds on social media.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was the headline that grabbed more people's attention or what, but you know, it's not been a kept secret. And like you said, you know, there's in other outlets or other sports team outlets across the country, you know, you see people writing about the guys that are mentioned in the ESPN story this time around and using Amarius Mims to grab clicks, but his name's been thrown around from the start. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't old news either. So I actually had a Georgia guy that works at Georgia beat reach out to me and, you know, kind of say the same thing. I rolled my eyes when I saw that that these people were using Amarius for clickbait. This has been here the whole time, and now it's making rounds on social media. And I'm like, yep, I know, but it's very surprising that it did make the rounds the way it did. I have a ton of people reach out to me and say, this must be the nail in the coffin. And I'm like, no, it's kind of been there for a while, but I don't know. Maybe it was, I don't know what it was. I don't know how I don't know what people see and don't see. And maybe we see a little bit more here and there, but I was like you, I was very surprised.
I think it was just a simple fact that this was coming from a national media member. And
yeah,
obviously when it's a national media member, it picks up outside of Knoxville. Whereas when the people who cover Tennessee on a regular basis, when they talk about it, it kind of stays within Knoxville and within the Tennessee fan base. But now other people are talking about it, so everybody picks up on it. But I mean, the information is correct. I just thought it was funny that it was making the rounds on social media on Thursday when it's been talked about in Knoxville and on message boards and on Tennessee Twitter all week long. But this it could be the nail in the coffin to some of the texts that you were receiving. I was receiving those Certainly. Same texts. It could absolutely prove to be the nail in the coffin. And honestly, it would not surprise me if it did prove to be the nail in the coffin. Matt, when you kind of hear this and you've been keeping up and seeing the latest developments, do you have a gut feel for what may happen?
No, it's tough to say because, I mean, like I mentioned there, you see you see this news come out, you don't really think much about it because you've been hearing this, you know this. It's made its rounds in the Knoxville media, and then you know, it comes out, and then you've got people saying, oh, this is it, this is a nail in the coffin. But you know, 4.5-5 hours later, Hendon Hooker commits, and you've suddenly got an impact guy at the quarterback position who, why would he commit if Jeremy Pruitt's going anywhere? And you start getting more texts like, oh, he must be staying now.
Exactly.
So you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what changed in 5 hours? And I think that's the dynamic of it. It's not even a 5 hour change. It's you can talk to somebody 30 minutes and then talk, you know, 30 minutes ago, and they can call you back 30 minutes later, and the vibe may be completely different. You know, things have been very quiet at times. Things have been, you know, it's been very hard to judge. It's hard to put your gut in any one place. But you know, it does seem a little bit more concerning, obviously, for Jeremy Pruitt that he hasn't been able to make, you know, staff hires that, and you know, it has to be frustrating for him in that aspect of, hey, I wanted this guy. I had a relationship with this guy. I know I could have got him to Knoxville, and you know, he goes somewhere else because of the uncertainty, or you've interviewed him and he can't come because we're paused right now. And then at the same time on the transfer market, I mean, Tennessee thinks they're losing out on the transfer market because of this. And they are.
Those quarterbacks you alluded to earlier.
Yeah, and you know, the guy that we're going to talk about probably to end this segment, it's hurting their, you know, their chances with Eric Gilbert.
Yep.
If Tennessee's made a definitive statement on Jeremy Pruitt's future, I think things might be a little bit different with Eric Gilbert. That's just my thoughts. But yeah. It's hard to put your gut in any one place. I do think, you know, trying to read between the lines, I think it's a little bit, I think it's obviously got to be a little bit concerning for Jeremy Pruitt. Obviously he's, you know, irritated about things, has to be irritated about things like that. But it's just so tough to say, because where do you look from, you know, 1 minute to the next?
Yeah, the addition of Hendon Hooker definitely makes you think that Jeremy Pruitt is coming back. Why would Hendon Hooker come to Tennessee if Tennessee is going to have a coaching change? Or quite frankly, why would Tennessee allow Jeremy Pruitt to take a grad transfer quarterback of this nature if he's not going to return? So that makes you think that Jeremy Pruitt is going to be back. But quite honestly, everything that I've heard this week speaks to the contrary. And
yeah,
you've seen national guys, John Bryce, you've seen Chris Lowe go on the 3HL on 104.5 in Nashville. And well, what's funny about that is Chris Lowe joined us on the Swain event Wednesday morning. And you could tell based off of his tone and his message that things were not trending well for Jeremy Pruitt. That was Wednesday morning at 8:30 Eastern. And then he goes on 3HL in the afternoon. And you speak about it changing so quickly just over the course of a couple of hours. Chris Lowe, who when he says something, you can bet your bottom dollar that it is true. He is much more firm in his stance and much more definitive that things are not looking good for Jeremy Pruitt. So
yep,
it just makes zero sense. I was completely blindsided by Hendon Hooker committing to Tennessee just because it just doesn't sound good for Pruitt. So we'll see how it plays out sure.
And I think back to what you touched on at the first part, outside of hiring assistant coaches, if you look at what an offseason checklist should look like and is something that you can control, and like you said, you have to find leadership on this football team. That's something I questioned Jeremy Pruitt about towards the end of the 2020 season there. And I asked him about the leadership role, and you know, he kind of blew it off like we have leadership across the board. But, you know, okay, you have to find leadership this time around, right? But you know,
that was coach speak.
Yeah, that was coach speak, whatever, you know. I understand where he's coming from, but you know, you can't really control that. But if you're looking at an off-season checklist that you can control, it's going number one, probably outside of hiring assistant coaches, has to be going and getting a grad transfer or a transfer quarterback that can help you win now, and this guy checks the box. So it's like you just clicked off a big piece. But like you said, I guess when we did this podcast at the first of the year, which was, you know, 6-7 days ago, leading into that, you kind of had probably a little bit more of an expectation that Jeremy Pruitt was coming back.
Yep.
And then over the last week, you tend to think –
that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, you tend to think, no, that's not the case anymore. So it's like it's been a ton of – swings. It's puzzling.
There's one thing that we can both agree on, not that we are disagreeing, but one thing we know is for certain is that Tennessee needs to make a decision one way or the other. And it's for the things that we're talking about. If you are going to bring back Jeremy Pruitt, you need to do it so you can stop hampering him from hiring coaches and pursuing players in the transfer portal, and probably pursuing players out of high school. We haven't heard it affect Tennessee as much with high school recruits, but I imagine that exists. So it's hurting Jeremy Pruitt to not come out and say that he's going to be back, if he is going to be back. But on the flip side of that, if you're going to move on from Jeremy Pruitt, it's hurting you to not go ahead and get that done so you can go ahead and get it wouldn't be a head start at this point in January, but you have legitimate options available to go out and hire to be your next head coach. There isn't a great fit, in my opinion. There isn't a home run hire that appears to be available, but there are good head coaches available, coaches who I think would win at Tennessee, who knows how much they would win at Tennessee. That's a different conversation for a different day. But there are good options available, and the longer you investigate, and I understand doing your due diligence, but you risk missing out on one coach or two coaches or three coaches or all of them, and then you're stuck back to where you were when you hired Jeremy Pruitt and having to pick between your 10th, 11th, and 12th option, and you don't want to be back there. So it's also hurting Tennessee to not make a decision if they are going to fire Pruitt, because you want to go ahead and try and get a head coach in here so they can start taking advantage of the transfer portal and get ready for signing day. So that's one thing I know we both agree on, is that Tennessee has to make a decision one way or the other, because both ways it's hurting them to not do so right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you're bringing Jeremy Pruitt back, you're crippling his efforts right now. Yep. I mean, 100%, you know, if Bo Davis was his top target, one of his top targets to come in, which he was, and you missed out on him because of this, that, you know, you had to settle for somebody that, you know, you don't know as well. Maybe things don't line up as well, but there's not that much out there. You're not helping, you know, you're not helping your chances. You know, you miss on some guys that you valued very high in the transfer portal, you know, that could have fixed needs. You lose somebody to the transfer portal, or you lose somebody to the NFL draft that you think you could have kept if, you know, something definitive would have been out there. You're hurt again. So, you know, and like you said, there's some guys out there that I think can win at Tennessee. There's, you know, plenty of names out there. Some that if Jeremy Pruitt moves on, that people aren't going to like, some that may surprise people, but there are names out there that can come to Tennessee and win. And I think Jeremy Pruitt left. If he is to get fired, I think he left the job in a better situation than he took over. But with that said, if you drag around and you see mass roster exodus and whatnot because of it, you're not setting the next coach up for success right away, because then you're scrambling with, you know, who knows how long until the high school signing period. This Tennessee staff isn't in on that many guys remaining. So how could a new staff identify guys that they need to in that amount of time and make a move? What's the transfer portal going to look like, you know, 3 weeks from now? Just as an example of a time frame, it's not a good recipe for success with things staying in limbo the way that they are.
Yep, we will continue to monitor the situation, and the moment news breaks one way or the other, Matt and I will jump on here and record a reaction podcast, whether that's reaction to Jeremy Pruitt being fired or Jeremy Pruitt returning for a fourth season. We'll be sure to monitor that situation and jump on here and put out a reaction pod to the news. We will definitely do that. But we'll end with this, Matt. Where do you think Eric Gilbert is going to end up? Or maybe not that specific of a question. Do you think Tennessee has a legitimate chance to land Eric Gilbert, the transfer tight end from LSU, who will be a first-round pick in 2 years, the former five-star tight end out of Alpharetta and high school teammate of Marietta, former high school teammate of Harrison Bailey? Do you think Tennessee has a legitimate shot there?
I thought Tennessee was the absolute front runner. In fact, they were. At the time that he was ready to announce his intentions to enter the transfer portal, I fully believe that at the time. I don't know where things stand now. Obviously, you know, it continues to grow more and more cloudy. He enters the transfer portal, announces his intentions to enter the transfer portal. His name never shows up. You know, that's one of the benefits, I guess, of staying in contact with the LSU staff. They worked him, and you're trying to convince him. He's trying to talk to everybody around him, and then finally they put him in, you know, when they absolutely had to. They have a certain time frame that they can put him in. But now I think I think it's wide open. I think when you look at Eric, I think he's a guy that wants the football in his hands. He's accustomed to having the football in his hands. He does want to be closer to home. Why not go reunite with your high school quarterback? You know, work in an offense that, you know, if Jeremy Pruitt was to remain the guy, they were the first school to tell you, hey, man, you're good enough to be a receiver at the SEC level. Like, you can work a lot of different angles, not just being a tight end. You can be the modern day tight end. You can be the Travis Kelce that we bring across the formation. We can line up out wide. We can use you any way we want to. And, you know, that's what LSU did with him to a point this year. But now I think, you know, you've got Jeremy Pruitt's job status in question. Obviously Harrison Bailey's dad, Orville, you know, made a comment, we came here to play for Jeremy Pruitt. And, you know, to a point, that did not mean to clarify here, that did not mean if Jeremy Pruitt leaves, Harrison Bailey is gone. That meant, hey, that. Right. Exactly. I agree. You know, but
what I cut you off there. You said that meant,
no, no, you're good. No, you know, that to a point, you're talking about a family that's recruited for, you know, 14, 16, 18 months or longer, mm-hmm. you know, by Jeremy Pruitt pretty personally, come here, play for me. Let's win titles. You know, this is a family that it's they're tight knit with Jeremy Pruitt. And, you know, I think more of a way of showing support for Jeremy Pruitt. Hey, we came here to build with Jeremy Pruitt. It's still, you know, obviously going to draw the negative connotation regardless of how it was meant. And it's easy to kind of see why, but, you know, I think the attraction of Harrison Bailey still being here, depending on how fast Tennessee moves with whatever they're going to do, gives them a chance to land Derek Gilbert. I mean, Tennessee's classes start on, you know, January 20th. So, you know, how long does Eric have before he has to make a decision on what he wants to do, if he's going to, you know, get here at mid-year and get in with the football team and start working? I think that complicates things. But I think obviously Georgia's a talking point. They obviously have been in his ear from the jump. Alabama's been in his ear. You know, I think if you're Auburn and you're Brian Harsin, you should be calling him every time that he answers the phone, or that he will. You know, another school not too far from home. It's my understanding that, you know, there was some interest from him towards Clemson, but not as much back. And apparently that's a Dabo thing as far as transfers go. So if you want to pass up on that, Dabo, more power to you.
I don't get that one.
But, yeah, I don't understand that one very much either. But, you know, obviously there's going to be schools from across the country calling Eric Gilbert. I mean, mm-hmm. I think Tennessee was the front runner. I think Tennessee was there ready to go, and I don't think they're out yet. But something has to happen one way or the other, you know, to give him some indication of what the future looks like on Rocky Top. And, hey, Hendon Hooker may be a great selling point to Eric Gilbert in the fact of, hey, like, this is wide open, you know, regardless of who the coach is. If you're Eric Gilbert, it's wide open. You know, at Georgia, you're going to be sharing the ball with a stable of running backs, George Pickens, Jermaine Burton, you know, got Darnell Washington in the tight end room who can flex and work. They're bringing in another, you know, highly coveted guy. So, you know, where do you fit in that offense if you're wanting the ball that much? Now, Florida, you know, that's a school that's being talked about because can he be used like Kyle Pitts? You know, is he willing to go that far away from home again, though? But, you know, obviously they're going to spread the ball around. They're losing a lot of weapons. They're bringing back, you know, kind of just Jacob Copeland. And, you know, what's Florida going to do? They need a weapon like that. Alabama, they're losing a lot, in my opinion, but they're Alabama. At the same time, there's going to be a lot of guys there to share the ball with. So, you know, for Eric, I think there's a lot of questions out there. I think Tennessee was ideally the spot for him when he announced his intentions. And, you know, this whole limbo thing clouded a lot of the ability for him to just say, yeah, I'm going to go there, because again, he should be off to the NFL in 2 years, but you don't want to go into a situation that's unknown.
For sure. I completely agree with you. I do think there's a lot of appeal from Eric's side of things to reunite with Harrison Bailey. I think that Tennessee has a legitimate shot with Eric Gilbert. Harrison Bailey has been working Eric Gilbert pretty hard. You saw that on Twitter. I do believe the tweet ended up getting deleted, but you did see Harrison Bailey tweet at Eric Gilbert and say, let's run it back. So Harrison Bailey and some other members of the team have been working him hard to try and get him over there. And I do think there is a legitimate appeal for Eric Gilbert to come to Tennessee. I think that would surprise a bunch of people because of the state of Tennessee's offense and the status of Jeremy Pruitt. But I do think I would go as far as to say that it's a Tennessee-Georgia battle. Obviously, things can change, but right now I do think it's a Tennessee-Georgia battle, and we'll see where that goes. And maybe if Tennessee makes a decision one way or the other, as you were talking about, Matt, maybe that will spark a decision. But that's just another situation that I'm sure will have a ton of twists and turns, and we'll continue to monitor that situation. But that would be a ginormous boost to this Tennessee offense. That is a bigger difference maker than Hendon Hooker, and Hendon Hooker plays the quarterback position. That is how talented Eric Gilbert is. So that would be quite the addition if Tennessee could manage to pull that off and bring Eric Gilbert to Knoxville. But they'll have to fight hard for him over Georgia. And you mentioned obviously some of the other schools that are really trying to get in the mix as well. Alabama, Florida, I agree with you. Auburn should try their best to get in it as well. But I do think it'll come down to Tennessee and Georgia, and we'll see what factors end up mattering the most to Mr. Gilbert. We'll continue to monitor that situation. But Matt, that will do it for this edition of the Rocket Top Insider Podcast. How can people follow you and your work as we continue to cover the never-ending roller coaster that is Tennessee football?
Yeah, it's a never-ending roller coaster, and you can find us at si.com/college/Tennessee, at VR2 on SI on all social media. You know, we're covering pretty much everything we can that's out there to cover. So just be sure to check us out, give us a follow, drop a question. You know, we're happy to talk and answer whatever we can.
Matt, I appreciate your time this Thursday evening. We will be sure to record a reaction podcast whenever news breaks with Jeremy Pruitt, one way or the other. So be sure to stay tuned in to Rocket Top Insider as well as VR2 on Sports Illustrated over the next couple of days as we continue to cover and monitor the situation. But for Matthew Ray, I am Ben McKee. This has been another edition of the Rocket Top Insider Podcast, and we will catch you all next time.